from Moxferry. Two bone devils named Andrew and Davery approached the demigods and began processing them into hell. Asriel and Milana gave over their information, and as a result, had their own strange masks begin to grow on their faces. Luckily, Dr. Gerlach was in, and he carved the masks off. Brimstone used his god abilities to track down Shalazar through all of hell to his bronze citadel. And once again, Asriel used the promise of childbirth to convince the front door demon Mincy to let everyone pass. Will Brimstone finally get his revenge?
So, you had all you have gotten past Minxy, the Baylor, and all the other stuff, and now you had successfully unlocked what you assume is the door to Shalazar.
I know it's the door to Shalazar. I know
that you know that it's the door to Shalazar.
I assume. Absolutely. Yeah.
It is. Okay. I even have it in my stat block here. So, what do you do? The door is unlocked.
Open the door, get on the floor, or be walking the dinosaur.
Right. Now I'm just thinking of the Super Mario Brothers movie. I'm just going to drink a worm now.
Right.
So you open up this door, and you open it up into a fairly sizable chamber. As you enter, or as you look inside, though, it's almost like a cell, a structured cell, in such that there is a thing in the middle, and this thing is kind of... we'll get to the thing in the middle in a second. But around it, you see that there's kind of like these, almost like these very big cones that come to a very, very fine point tip. It's like almost like needles that come down. And they're just all over the ceiling and like half of the walls, almost like a hemisphere, right? And they're all pointing at this thing in the center. And what you see in the center is like this pile of gray mass. It kind of undulates, it moves around. It's not like an ooze because it's not opaque. It pretty much is the color of your mask, Brimstone.
My mask?
Okay, not your mask. All the masks that you've been shaving off. And it's like undulating in the thing. And I need Milana and Asriel to you instantly have a mask on. There is no, oh, it's growing. Right away, this whoosh. You have a mask on your face. And I need a spirit save from both of you.
What? A spirit?
I passed.
Oh, I passed. Okay.
So you both are wearing this mask, but for a second, you heard a voice in your head, would be the best way to put it. And this voice was like, hit him in the back. Hit him being a Brimstone. But you're able to not fall into that voice and hitting Brimstone in the back. But right away, you both are wearing masks, and Brimstone, you see this undulating mass, and it goes,
zero. Oh, Brimstone! How many times, like, do I gotta wear a name tag or something? What's going on? Like, yeah. Brimstone. Just says Brimstone. Is that what my Pursuit of Fury is pointing towards, that giant gray mass, or?
Yeah, it's this mass in the middle.
Where's Shalazar? It's like, you know,
I'm right here.
Yeah,
you look like you got like some problems. you're gray undulating.
Yeah,
mask.
As you say that. Yeah, this mask kind of forms up into like it's almost like a form of Shalazar kind of stretches out of this mask and is trying to stay in this form as the rest of this mask kind of riles about.
Yeah,
and they're like,
I'm here, Brimstone, and I will have my revenge for this damnation.
Well, I'll have my revenge on you for this damnation. Brimstone like points at his face, like
right.
I'm kind of like, but don't get confused. I'm pointing at me, but I'm not talking about me specifically. I'm talking about the thing, everything that you've done to me. Brimstone says. In a very, you know,
poor Jaggy.
Jaggy.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I mean, Jaggy, or whatever. He's
hey, it's cool. I understand. We don't share the same thing.
Yeah, we don't share the same thing, but we're kind of like he's attached to me, I guess.
And so, what you assume Shalazar is like,
come try to end me, and I will assume or. Sassume you? Is that the right word? I shall overcome you. You shall be part of me.
Sassume, overcome. Yes, that's the word.
I like that.
And then maybe I will be free.
Wait, are you miserable right now? Does everything suck for you?
Of course. But you killed my mortal being. I cannot live. Or I cannot leave here until another time. If I would ever go back.
Well, if everything kind of sucks for you right now, that sounds great. I mean, that's pretty good.
As he shakes his head, he kind of falls back into his form, falls back into this undulating mass. Uh-huh. And,
yeah, I mean, Brimstone, if you still have the egg that Jim Teller came in, you could just put him in there like Silly Putty and like... We could,
like a giant... Like yeah, like those Silly Putty eggs you get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he could become like our like Power Rangers. What's the guy in Power Rangers that's in a tube?
Oh, yeah.
Zordon.
Yeah. Like our Zordon.
Yeah. And Jumtel could be like our
You're describing them as gray masks that they grow on people. It's like those are the putties. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Those are the putties, yeah.
Yes.
We five are the Power Rangers, obviously.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Or was it the other dragons that were the Power Rangers?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me right now? is this real? Oh my God. Did Josh base something off of something that we all have seen?
Did we not make the Power Rangers joke before?
You made the Power Rangers joke before. And as you're kind of, as he folds back in, you see like kind of undulating out of there. It's like different forms of like just the upper half of the dragons that you already defeated, like Snow, and I need to go get all the rest of my notes.
He's like mimicking Tiamat now with all the different colored dragon things going on.
But they're all gray, right? They're not. Yeah. There's no color.
I would like to uncork my flask of Azrael blood.
Mm.
And just huck it in there.
Ooh, okay. What happens if you toss
just
it in there?
Huck it in there.
That sounds like a bad idea, but I'm curious too.
Yeah, now I gotta think about it.
Yeah, do it. Ooh, my ichor.
If that doesn't work, we'll throw the Azrael in there.
I guess I'll roll a save first.
I guess I'll start by rolling a save.
Oh, he failed that save.
Ooh, boy.
So go ahead and roll a 1d6, John.
I'm rolling a 1d6. Two
damage straight. So that happens first. Azrael, give me a hardiness save.
I will use an effort to succeed.
Okay. Go ahead and use an effort. For a second, it's as if you're looking at everyone else, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like you were in the center of the room.
Yeah, like I was sucked into the... Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And...
Hey, guys! Let's not do that again, okay? That was... We're getting a little Freaky Friday up in here.
What's that? Do it again.
I think he said do it again.
Yeah, all I heard was do it again.
I'm going to go after him, after Azrael with the dagger.
That's good, sir.
Oh, my God. But I guess the damage part is, it just looks like a whole bunch of fires went like onto Shalazard. I call him Shalazard the Shackled in my notes. Nice.
Shalazard the Shackled.
I would like to take this opportunity to flame on and burn my mask off.
Okay, give me another fortitude save.
That is the third natural one I've rolled tonight.
Wow.
Nice.
Damn.
Did you borrow my dice? Is that what the problem is?
Do you want to use any effort or tithings?
I am plumb out of tithings, I'm pretty sure.
No, you have 7.
To get advantage, it's only 3?
It's only 3.
Oh, yeah, I'll use tithings, though.
All right, you can roll again.
I got a 16 that time, so I passed. Okay.
So you're able to flame on, and yes, the mask burns up off your face, but you're not able to maintain it. It's pretty much you can maintain it per round of save. It's a free action or whatever. It doesn't count against your economy. But Milana still has her mask completely on.
And it's just talking to me right now?
Yeah, you hear voices in your head telling you to do things.
That's not unusual.
Well,
that's not unusual.
Okay, well, these voices, when they tell you to do these things, you're like, oh, yeah, maybe I should. And so you come out like, ooh.
All right. I'm okay with living on the edge.
All right. But yes, there's fireworks, and I guess we're kind of in combat. Or like I said, Garlock has taken an action. I leave it to you four to take an action before I will take an action.
Is there anything else in this room real quick? Like, is this just it?
This is it. This is a really weird room. It's like, clearly it's all these weird points. Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you probably don't have knowledge to understand what would be going on with these points.
Right.
These points are feeding him power. I gotta break up.
I don't know.
I'm gonna attack the blob, I guess, Brimstone says.
You're gonna go attack the blob?
Wait, no, I think you're onto something with the weird points.
It could be.
Yeah, can you describe them?
So yeah, they're all made of the same material, but they're all coming from the wall and ceiling because it's more... a hemisphere, and they all come down to these very, very tiny points, like needles.
And they're all pointing towards the
blob. Maybe it's like an extraction device or something. I don't know.
It could be.
To pull out little bits.
Yeah, let me look at this, Milana says. Wait, can I do anything with this mask?
We'll find out what you want to do.
I'm just trying to, like, assess the situation. Like, can I figure out, like, what's going on with these points of, like, I don't know. You said there's five of them?
But there's a whole bunch. There's that.
Are there ones that look particularly more important than others? Like, wearing, like, a badge that says, I'm important?
The points? No.
Okay.
Are you talking about the points that are coming from the walls and the ceiling and stuff?
Yeah.
They're pretty much all identical.
And there's just a number.
There's...
Okay, so they doesn't matter. Okay. They don't matter, guys.
Did you roll brains on that? Do you know what they do?
I'm trying to assess the situation, and I'm like, trying to figure out...
If you want to assess, let's do an intelligence roll.
Because you looked, like, put off, and I was like, oh, these don't matter.
Sorry.
My intelligence is 18. I rolled a 12. And the check is 3.
Okay, so you beat it. Kind of like in some of these animes where you're like kind of looking at it, but it's like the camera gets really, really, really close on the point because for some reason, yeah. And so what you notice is like, it comes down to a needle point because it is like a needle. It's hollow at the tip. And they are able to, and you're like kind of with your zoomed vision, we'll go with that. You actually notice that like little wisps of this gray specks are actually going up through the points, and you're actually now looking around. You realize this whole room, and now spilling out of the room are all these little, almost like spores.
Gross.
Can I breathe them in?
You already are. That's why you're wearing a mask.
Hi, everybody. I've got a mask that's protecting me.
I guess for you, because you roll so well, is you know that the mask grew right away because of being exposed to these spores.
Oh, that's the opposite problem.
Yeah.
I thought you were like, oh, this mask is here to keep the spores out of you.
No. The mask grew instantaneously because of your exposure to the source of this stuff.
Give me Shalazar's blood scythe. I'm going to hit him with his own blood scythe.
Actually, I should be rolling the hardiness save, not you. Oh, I rolled a nat 20.
Oh.
You don't have anything banked. Okay.
I
need that blood scythe. Don't take it from me.
Yeah, you try to summon this blood scythe, and you see the mass in the middle actually extend towards you and become the scythe. And as you grab the scythe, because it kind of appears in your hand, I need a hardiness save from you.
Yes, I get a 19 off of an 8, so yes.
It's a very, very weird sensation grabbing onto this thing. Because it's almost like, feels in your hand almost like it's a million tiny ants moving around. You're like just holding onto this, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That's weird.
But you have this weird scythe in your hand.
Yeah. Huh, okay.
Well, it's attached to the blob, but you're holding it.
All right. My spiritual advisor, Gerlach, I'm taking a cue from him. Can I also summon the kitty cat killer
knife with the Kaze crystal inside?
Ooh.
Right?
Is this a free action move?
Yeah, power? I mean, it is part of the sword ability.
Okay.
It is not.
Yeah, sure. So your scythe in one hand and the dagger in the other?
Yep. Mash them together.
Yeah, you got the dagger in the other.
Yeah.
So you're just going to go like...
Yep.
Okay, so go ahead and roll me attack first.
Okay, let's do that.
AC would be 5, but I feel like you're in an advantage. So just go and roll with advantage. Let's just do it that way. So AC 5.
Yeah, nat 20.
So you're just stabbing it into the scythe?
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Yeah, into like the moving Shalazar goo. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a d4 first. This is your damage. This will be straight. Just
a 1 there. Does it matter if I have my effect in play that does max damage and I can read you the...
Sure, we can... You could just do max damage. That's fine if you want to trigger that or whatever.
Sure.
So yeah, you stab this dagger in and... oh God, I forgot another thing. I was just thinking about Shalazar, but you're in hell. Okay, I think hell does not do anything to this power. Okay, so we're still cool there. So you stab into Shalazar. You all... You know, feel the buffet of wind, like, you know, it's the sea. That sea wind, it's cool, it's salty, and it kind of just, woof. And you see the scythe is kind of just start like a zipper, just woof, and start coming apart. And it goes down into this blob, and it starts unzipping this whole blob, and it starts disintegrating. And with Milana's like zoom vision, you just see it's going into like millions, if not billions, of spores that are just floating up in the air, and you see on the ground you see Shalazar,
normal human.
This is the man that is. He looks like how you remember him, Brimstone. Okay. But he has no devil parts. But he is anemic. He looks like, you know, he's not seen the sun forever. It's like a husk of a man. But he is there, laying on the ground. But it's still not his turn. But that's what you see.
Yeah, Brimstone, like, kind of like, I guess if he's like in a very bad state or a bad way, mm-hmm. Brimstone kind of like walks up to him and is like, I don't know, this is kind of a moment for him. It's kind of like, as he's looking at him, he probably, as his normal human form, as Brimstone mm-hmm. remembered him back in the past, Brimstone's remembering the fact that he knew Shalazar when he was younger. He was a part of the community that Brimstone was a part of, and the betrayal that he felt by essentially being abducted by this person and turned into what he is now, which is like, I feel like at one point Shalazar probably befriended him because in Brimstone's community, he was estranged. He was this weird half dragon that nobody had ever seen before, like not normal in their parts. So then took advantage of Brimstone, turned him into a test subject, and essentially had him betray his entire, I guess, clan is what you would call it. Mm-hmm. His entire family, and just utterly destroyed made Brimstone destroy his own life, essentially. And with that, he just looks at this guy. Not even a word, straight up just punches him with the most emotionally charged and fierce punches you can imagine from Brimstone. Mm-hmm. Like a punch with a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know? That's what Brimstone does. You want me to like,
so are you just trying to kill him?
I'm just trying to kill him. Can I use one of my facts to help me with this one, which is relationship hates Shalazar the wizard.
Absolutely. You don't even have to roll. You just tell me how you kill him.
Yeah. Like I just described it. He just straight up, I don't know. Have you ever seen one of those in like a karate demonstration where they like punch through like those tiles, those stone tiles, mm-hmm. just one of those straight down punches. And it's just like, it is like, you just hear it and it is horrible sounding. I'm not going to say describe what it looks like, right. Sure, but it's just like right there on the dome. And it's just like, it's over, you know, like, oof.
And now I need all three saves for Milana.
All three saves for Milana?
All three? Because I got a mask on my face.
I'm glad I burned mine off.
So hardiness is 13. Hardiness is 13, so I got 11.
What? So did you fail that one?
So my hardiness is 13. I rolled.
If you have enough effort, you can automatically pass all of them.
I think so. Is there 10?
You have 10 tithings.
So I'll spend tithing to pass hardiness.
Next one.
I rolled a 20.
All right.
My evasion is 10.
Okay.
And then I rolled a 10 and my spirit is 12. So I will use another bunch
all
right.
So you're all out.
I just imagine like my face, like my head just drops to the ground.
Yeah, I'd 100% agree. Yeah, there's just like a sickening, there's the sickening sound of Shalazard, you know, just dying. And then you just hear the sickening like thung as Melantis falls to the ground. But then she gets back up, luckily. Yeah, you're at this point now, Milana, where you I think it's like you're in control of yourself, but you just want to get this mask off as fast as possible kind of deal. Yeah. Like it is.
Go back.
You haven't felt this bad for a very, very long time. Like this is a not great situation. This girl like come and help.
Go back.
Yes, please. Please. I would love to carve your face again.
He's able to free your action. Just whoop. Azrael has not went right.
Are we still in combat?
It's not a great situation because I guess the other thing is so yeah, like there's now this all these spores everywhere.
Okay,
even you can see it now. It's just like a cloud of haze in this room, and you can see that they're like being sucked. Like you can see current at these needles going upwards. Like you can see that they're moving away, but this whole area is just filled with them.
I would like to miracle. And basically expand my flame on throughout the whole room.
Yeah, I was just thinking if they're like spores, UV light might.
Yeah. So.
Give me a fortitude save.
Sure.
Or I mean, hardiness. Gosh.
Yeah, you're fine. I knew what you meant. That one I passed.
All right. So yeah, you're able to just completely like. What does this miracle look like?
Normally, I like flame on, and it's like. Just like basically like turning on a light bulb, except super bright. But it normally never doesn't like the flames or the sun or whatever doesn't like leave my body or like really burn stuff around me unless I want it to. But it's like just coming like pulsing out of me in like waves is just like this pure divine light that's like just annihilating all the spores.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, yeah, you guys are, the room clears, there's this dead Shalazard there, and then all of a sudden you just hear...
I want the palm piece for my necklace collection, now that I think about it.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely, you can take
it.
You did it.
Sometimes, winning a game isn't about dealing the most damage, or drawing the most cards, or making any measurable contribution towards victory. But hey, just because you don't have the stats doesn't mean you're not a f***ing gamer god, alright? Enter The Intangibles, a podcast on the Geekspective Network, where me, Kenny, and my brother Matt break down all the things that are hard to quantify in games. All kinds of games. We're talking classics like Sonic the Hedgehogs, and Chess, and 3D Pinball Space Cadet. Great game, by the way. We're talking new releases like...
Insert latest trending games on Twitch here.
Single player, co-op, competitive, card games, board games, role-playing games, play-by-mail games, the wakes. We do deep dives into our favorite games, digging into the intangibles that make them great and the intangibles that will make you a better player, and hey, maybe even a better person. Check out The Intangibles on whatever the heck platform you're listening to right now.
You all of a sudden hear, I don't know if you've ever heard like war horns being blown, but it just, you just hear it throughout the whole citadel, and the whole citadel is now vibrating as these like big bellows of sound keep on emanating from somewhere in this building.
Uh-oh.
What do you do?
Maybe we ought to go now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know I got us here, but I don't remember how to get out. Nuwak, do you...
Yeah, I think I know the way.
Okay. Yeah, follow me. Devil's
butthole. Devil's
butthole. What?
We gotta go to the devil's anus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I will lead everybody out as quickly as I minotaurly can.
This is when I wish we could do an action or a group action to get out of here. Does anyone? So we have two lacquery. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have a miracle can help you move quickly?
I can teleport.
I mean, I have alacrity, so I can move faster than.
Please to cradle me like a baby.
Pretty much, I'm just going to lay this out here. If you all just like try to run with Nuek, you probably will not be fast enough. There has to be a godly effort to, you know, do what you really want to do. You could say, because Nuek will be able to lead the person, like be able to tell you how to get there. But if you're just running. You feel like you will not be quick enough for whatever's going to happen.
But you think that I don't be fast enough? Are you kidding me? My dexterity is 16, dude.
And so you can... What does it take to... I'm sorry, to do a miracle?
Effort to unlock it, and then additional effort if you have to... If the original power requires it. But if you already have an ability that applies to yourself, you could use a miracle, so one effort to expand it to everyone, usually.
Well, I could do Flickering Advance to everyone. So that would be a miracle. I have three effort. One would be to commit effort to the end of the scene. So that's two. Instantly reach any location you can see with your unaided sight out to the horizon, which is usually about 3 miles away.
Yeah, but you're inside this building. Right now, Nuek's trying to, like, guide you throughout this building of maze.
I could use... Did we ever establish if I could teleport into the infernal sunlight?
Maybe with a miracle. I don't know.
So, swift... Here's another possibility. Swifter than the sun. Commit effort. Your movement rate is twice as fast as your fastest pursuer or quarry.
We are probably being pursued.
Right. So we would be twice as fast as our fastest quarry.
That might work if you can apply it to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, if I use all... Because it's one effort to miracle it, one effort to commit effort on my turn, and then an effort to give it to everybody. And that's all. That's the last of my effort for the day.
All right. So you all are able to... Like, Nuek, you're leading the way, and then what does this look like as you're trying to bestow this upon everyone, girl?
Nuek, you're too slow. Let's move.
And I will just start ushering people along faster and faster and then faster and faster. And whatever is unfolding behind us keeps getting further and further behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as Gerlach's behind me, like, go. Because of the miracle, because of the divine nature of it, like, I start going. It's like I'm put on like times two speed or whatever. It's like we're in that speeded up like motion world now until we get where we need to go.
Absolutely. So you feel the whole citadel vibrate as you're going through this, and you start getting towards the entrance where you first got there, and. Minxie's waiting there for you.
Oh. Did we pass Andrew?
Minxie, we gotta go. Come on if you're coming.
Oh, what did you do?
But they start to go with you all.
Hey, Minxie, you know what we did. We don't need to talk about it.
We did what we said we'd do. We killed Chalazar. And by we, I mean Brimstone.
Yeah.
Well, God.
Yeah. Oh my, this will be bad.
Not for you. It's all gonna work out for you, buddy.
So you with Minxie and Tull, you all start sprinting through the Bronze Citadel. And all the kind of organized chaos you were going through is now pretty much chaos. And so there's devils running every which way, but you're able to get through. And as you're leaving the Bronze Citadel, you look behind you and then you see the Citadel open up and you see this gigantic devil step out, and it is Bale. And they are in their full regalia, as anyone would ever like view in their mind, as if they're looking to kill or go to war. But is that not, they are not paying attention to you right now, and you're able to exit out of the Bronze Citadel. as you kind of get out back onto Avernus, you know, this whole time it's been war, 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 and all these biomes. And you see that all these biomes look like they're dying, right? They've all had their certain kinds of color and vibrant, and they are kind of dying away. You see a lot of the devils that you would expect for Bale to control kind of start convulsing and exploding into weird gray ooze and masses and uncontrollable forms. And you could tell quite easily that in this situation they're in now, they are not winning the war anymore. It's no longer a stalemate. Despater's army is winning. And as you see the tides start to turn, you see out from that center column of black and purple energy, Despater themselves show up.
Who?
The ruler of the second level of hell.
Cool. What's he look like?
Despater looks like your devil's devil. More like they're more very much humanoid. They have very short, pointy. Or I guess it depends on the artist, right? But they usually have like short, pointy horns. Really buff. Some drawings have hair. I like the ones with the like kind of long rocker hair. All in black. Big spiked mace and a javelin as well. And a three-headed dog by its side. And this is like, you all know, this is, it's like the size of an avatar, right? This is this person, like just like Bale, these sizes are like stories tall. But you know it is the person. They're doing whatever magic they have to get to this size. And then you see Bale and Despater start to battle out in the fields or the plains of Avernus.
I still don't know exactly how we did this, but it looks pretty cool. But let's move. Move.
This is
it
looks cool.
This is super metal, you guys.
Yeah, this is like legit.
I have a couple
like you
ideas.
You see all this stuff in the background, right? Like all this and then we're backlit, so like we're black shadows just like running across.
Pretty much comically running. Running comically quickly.
I can't wait till Gambo hears this. He's gonna blow his little blizzard mind.
I'm thinking about that scene in The Hobbit, which I was like, I don't think this is in the book, where there's just stone giants just fighting each other while the hobbits are trying to get across the mountain.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, God.
Yeah, I don't think that was in the book.
I don't think so either.
But yeah, so yeah, there is complete chaos going on. What do you
think? We start clicking our heels together and hoping to go. No place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
You know what I see? A giant puddle. A giant wormhole that we should jump into.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is this.
Three, two,
before you
one,
jump, or you're thinking about jumping, Malana, you remember that anywhere.
It takes us anywhere.
Anywhere.
I know.
To any dimension.
I don't tell anybody.
Like anime mecha girl dimension?
I don't know.
I think he knows.
Is that the transition?
No, I. So out of like laying it on the table, I don't think like when we do next season, it's going to be brand new characters. I don't want to. These characters will still exist in this world. We'll be making a brand new world, so you will not be going to Mech World or what have you.
Oh, Malana in a horrible, nasty Evangelion mech, because that's what she would totally get.
But more of like, you could wind up in so many different permutations of, you know, fantasy world dimension, what have you.
Are you guys ready for an adventure? Let's jump into this hole.
Nowhere to go but down.
I genuinely don't see a way out of this that doesn't involve jumping in that hole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
agreed.
I don't think we...
Josh, none of us see... You give us a hole, we want to jump in it.
I could open up my cape. We could all go to the void.
No.
I've been there.
We don't even really like have time to like figure out a way to successfully navigate the wormhole, because it's like this plane is going to start collapsing around us at this rate.
We need to all hold hands.
All hell has broken loose in hell, and it's time to go.
Do we have to sing a song or something?
I mean, I won't stop you.
And all this talk, Brimstone opens his hand like he expects somebody to grab it so we can all grab hands before we jump into the hole.
I will grab his hand.
Oh, yes, tell me the chain of grabbing hands, please.
Last. Very, very
last. I'm in the
last middle.
Who's grabbing whose hand? Yeah. I need to hear this.
I'm grabbing... Me and Ezreal are grabbing hands.
Can I be stuck between my two burly boys?
Yes, you absolutely can.
Wow.
I'll get Azrael on one side and Milan on the other.
Mm.
And then Gerlach, you can hold
who's
my
holding
foot.
Minxie's hand?
Oh, yeah, who's
holding? Oh, yeah, Minxie. Well, that's got to be you, Azrael.
Okay. Can it be like, Brimstone, Azrael, Minxie, Nuek,
sure.
Milana, Gerlach?
Maybe Gerlach can grab a hold of Nuek's tail as a...
Maybe it's like Nuek is last, and then like Milana and Nuek are just attached to him like polyps.
Or we could make a circle. We could make a circle where Nuek clasps Brimstone's other hand, and then we all pull ourselves in like we're parachuting.
I could have Gerlach grab the tail and be like, "What is this on this tail?"
I'm up higher than that. I'm like in between his shoulder blades. That's where I'm at.
And then we jump in and we all disappear.
Yeah, you all disappear. And I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe that's for another season, I guess. I think this is for another season.
Wait, we had one more adventure this season.
I know. We will think about it for next time. I don't know. As the GM...
I feel like this is a good place to end it, honestly. The evildoers have yet again gone into another dimension-shifting place.
This is the second time they went into a divine realm of some sort, whether it be holy or unholy.
Right.
Threw things through a loop, and then just bailed. Just like...
Literally just bailed.
I would say at least this time we didn't do it intentionally. I mean, previously we were like, we're going to break this stuff. Now we're just like, we seem to have accidentally broken something.
That is the second plane of existence we've destroyed. So
it's not destroyed. It's just, I'll spell it out for you. Despater now owns the first and second level of hell.
But I mean, he's going to knock out the wall.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
It's got an open floor plan kind of a thing.
That is terrible,
all
though.
The ceilings and shit.
And we lost Mama Gumbo, which is honestly the biggest tragedy of all.
You know,
well, they gotta eat. Maybe Mama Gumbas will keep serving them in hell.
I'm sure there's another Mama Gumbas in a different dimension, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, they come into one of the biomes after the Spader conquers hell, and it's like, what the? Is that a Mama Gumbas?
I thought they got rid of this chick.
I have not seen that since I was alive.
I think there's a lot of fun for Josh to figure out what to do, too, if we jump into this thing, because you have two characters who are tied to some deities. Three characters who tie to deities. You got Azrael with Paylor and old Ice Easy, if Ice Easy has a vendetta against Azrael. You have Gerlach, who's talking to the void and having problems.
Right.
And then you have me with Vecna. So you have like three potential pulls to make like kind of what happens with inside this wormhole.
You can go that way, or you can just go like, whatever, man. I'm going to roll a percentile. You're going to figure out where the fuck you is.
Yeah, we pop out in the Old West or something.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that'd be fun. Ooh, even more fun.
Yeah, no, it'll be very interesting to talk about this in a year or so. Because I'll spell it out. What I was originally thinking was we would go back to Mox Ferry because there was a solution to how not to do this, to do what happened. But of course, but now it's just throw that out. But pretty much it's going to focus on how Nuek would protect Monsterville. Because there's actually a lot of crazy shit you left running in Mox Ferry. So we were actually going to only jump ahead like 2 or 3 weeks, because I promised like we weren't going to go ahead 2 years or whatever. So it's actually going to jump ahead a few weeks, and even in those few weeks, you'd be like, "What?" I'm not going to spell it out because maybe there'll still be something for me to pull there, kind of deal. But for me, it's just like we could do a whole bunch of crazy shit, and that's for something for us to be excited about and talk about together, in a year or so. But I think with that. We will say our adieus. You can find this great show and many others at geekspective.com and great shows run by Father John in the near future. And you can find me at Evil DM Josh. What about you, Brother John?
They can find me drifting through space.
Soon. What about you, Amber?
Boop. Boop. I guess I'm on Twitter at Rocket Orker at or oh boy, my mouth just kind of fell apart there. Figure that out. I'm at Rocket Orca. And also at Rocket Orca underscore art. I do art. So I've been making lots of nail pins. You can go to my Twitter and go to Etsy and see my stuff that I do and all that stuff. I do lots of stuff for Geekspective. Lots of stuff for Geekspective.
What about you, Dave?
It's a steady Minotaur. I don't know. I might have given it up for good. I don't know. It stopped delighting me, but I don't know. Maybe I'll come back.
Yes.
Follow me or whatever. It'll be fine.
What about you, Chris?
Hey, I only exist in your hearts and minds.
Oh, that's what that feeling is.
And in your ears. And in your ears.
Like a tapeworm.
And last but not least, Father John.
There's a Crossways GM account out there somewhere. Hey, maybe I'll make use of it leading up to this first adventure.
Go on, jiggle to that. All right.
Please end.
Thanks for watching or listening. See you around. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Tales from Moxbury. If you dig what you heard, leave a review, and more importantly, tell your friends. That is the best way to help us out. If you'd like to help out even more, become a patron at patreon.com/geekspective. If you'd like to see how it's all made, join Josh every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. EST on the Geekspective Twitch channel for GM Prep. You can catch a live stream of Tales from Moxbury every other Saturday on the Geekspective Twitch channel at 6 p.m. EST. I want to thank Rudy Basso for editing the podcast and for making the opening recap. If you need someone to edit your podcast, you can find him on Twitter at Rudy Basso. I also want to thank Rob Anderson for making the kick-ass theme music. If you want him to make you some music, you can find him on Twitter at Potentially Rob. Thanks for listening. Catch you in 2 weeks or less.